Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Holtcast. Cole Petum here, as always, and we're going to do a little bit of a different preview today. I'm overbooked based on me just being, a trigger-happy finger and not being too patient, but anyways, of course, so we're going to have a Villa perspective at the start, and then we're going to go to a opposition preview, kind of prototypical thing that we always do on these previews at the very end with Jack Gill, who works with a number of different Liverpool outlets, but anyways, I don't want to really talk for 10 minutes by myself, so I got my good friend here, Neil Dunworth. We haven't really chatted in a little while. He hasn't been on here in a little while, so what better day to get him on than prior to Liverpool, because of course we face them on Saturday at Anfield. So without further ado, Neil, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Cole. Yeah, it's good to catch up, good to chat again, and you know, what better time to come on than to have the champions have us going to the home of the champions, where we are leading the tie 8-6 on aggregate. Lest we forget, we're leading 8-6 on aggregate as we go into the third leg of this tie, this wonderful tie that we have with Liverpool this year, and I'm looking forward to seeing what it brings.
Yeah, honestly, I can't wait. I mean, we're seeing a lot of 7-2 highlights kind of go on our Twitter feeds and social media feeds. And what if that could happen again, or another gobsmacking kind of scoreline for Villa? I mean, I'm always up for the occasion. Hopefully something like that does happen again. But at the same point, I wouldn't be shocked if somehow we just get an absolute trolloping somehow and it kind of karma bites us. But you never know with these ones. But nonetheless, Neil, of course, if we look at this fixture as a whole, I mean, Liverpool, of course, midweek Champions League, they went 3-1 down to Real Madrid. Of course, they still have that home leg to come, of course, so that's in the back of their mind. And of course, we're coming off a 3-1 win over Fulham. Who knows what's going on with Super Jackie Grealish? We'll have to wait and see, and I'm not really holding my breath anymore to see if that kind of comes off on Saturday. But either way, there's just an open amount of possibilities, really, with this game, isn't there?
Absolutely, I suppose. There's open amount of possibilities, I think, more so from the Liverpool side, because if you were to ask me to pin the tail on the donkey with regards to what 11 Jurgen Klopp's going to play, I couldn't tell you. I could have a good guess of 9 or 10 of the Villa players. Absolutely, no problem. I don't think we'd see Jack Grealish, but I could probably guess the team, and it would be Trezeguet for El Ghazi. Maybe we might see Marvelous Nakamba in there for Douglas Luiz, considering taking Douglas Luiz off was a small bit of a catalyst for... he was taken off, I think, because he was in a yellow card, but it was a small bit of a catalyst when we brought on Ramsey and so on. But, you know, you could make a good stab at the Villa team, but I genuinely could not tell you what midfield Jurgen Klopp is going to play. And I have a sneaking suspicion I wouldn't be able to tell you the back four that Jurgen Klopp is going to play either. I think maybe you could see somebody like Ben Davis come in centre-half for them, somebody who hasn't got a lot of game time. And obviously they had Bobby Firmino on the bench last against Real Madrid. He might get a go up front. It really is very fluid in his team selection and what he has at his disposal, who he is going to play. And if he has one eye on the following Wednesday night back in Anfield, as you say, against Real Madrid, where, you know, don't discount that away goal that they have and one of those quote-unquote magical nights in Anfield. So I think Jurgen Klopp himself will look at the Champions League as probably a bigger prize than beating Aston Villa. And I know people say, well, they need to get back into the Champions League positions in the league themselves. But, you know, beat Real Madrid, I think, would be heavy on their mind. Then they play the winners of Chelsea and Porto, most likely looking to be Chelsea after the first leg. And they would have to face their chances against Chelsea. Then you're into a Champions League final and anything can happen there against one of the teams from the other side. So from a point of view of team selection, I have no idea what Jurgen Klopp is going to pick, but I do think he will pick with one eye on mind, one eye on the game against Real Madrid, considering that he has been known to rest players and to try and keep fatigue down.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, that away goal, like you said there, Neil, it's massive. That can open up a lot of possibilities really for them. Yeah, you're still two goals down, but you say get two quick goals back in that second leg there, and you're absolutely laughing and kind of in cruise control with the other team just looking to press the heck out of you. And we all know what happens when teams can really high press. A lot of things can go poorly at the back as well. But really looking at Liverpool's game against Real Madrid, they're starting center backs. I mean, that's probably the biggest conundrum. I think they played Quebec and Phillips, and on the bench, I think they had just had was it Ben Davies, or I can't remember. They have a few Davies as well, but it's really tough for them. But even without Jack Grealish in this game, I mean, the likes of Quebec, like I said there, and Phillips as well, you'd have to think that Watkins, maybe even Trezeguet, a few others, maybe even John McGinn popping up with the potential another goal here against Liverpool. You'd have to like our odds against that center back pairing, especially because, of course, they're inexperienced in the Premier League, only a short time there, of course, since January. And I think the best thing of all is they really haven't played too much together. So when you're blending in a defense like that, and then you're also kind of having a makeshift midfield with whoever they can really throw in. I know they're missing Jordan Henderson. That's a massive miss for them. And of course, we know at the back, Van Dijk's another massive one of as long as well, I should say, as Joe Gomez too. So we all know what their attack is. I don't really think we need to really go over that because Diogo Jota, of course, is back and he's fit and firing as well. So that's something to take in mind as well. But we're gonna have to go in this game, Neil, with absolute confidence. I mean, why wouldn't we, right?
I think so. Like Liverpool have last six of their last seven home games. Actually, I think they've lost all six of their last home games. Some really strange stat. It dates back to around Christmas time that they've lost a lot of games at home. I'm not saying that we go into this sure of ourselves or that we go into this thinking that we can come away with a win, but I think we can go into this game knowing that, provided that we play a certain way, i.e., draw their full backs forward, which Real Madrid did, stay condensed in the middle of midfield, which they did with Kroos, Modric, and Casemiro, and then spray the ball wide as quick as possible. Easier said than done when you don't have Jack Grealish, or when you have Jack Grealish on the field, it's easy. When you don't, it's easier said than done, should I say? But look, we I'm not going to say we wrote the blueprint on how to beat Liverpool when we beat them 7-2, but what we did was just that. We drew their fullbacks forward. We attacked down their right-hand side at will behind Trent Alexander-Arnold, and we got good joy out of it. Do I think we can do it this week? I'm not sure, but the back four, as I say, you would have to fancy your chances against them. Saying that, their two fullbacks could create two goals in the blink of an eye for Liverpool. They're both supremely talented going forward, and Andy Robertson is brilliant going back. I just think that Trent Alexander-Arnold, and not just saying it because of the game he had against Real Madrid, I just think sometimes he's very lax in defense. He would, like, I'm sure I'm not the only person that's ever said this, you turn him into a Gareth Bale of the right-hand side type player, whereby you put him in a more advanced role and maybe get a more sturdy right back in there. That could shore things up there, but it's like he's someone you can get in behind, and Real Madrid do that, and I think we've got the horses to do that. Even if we play Trezeguet there, he's all action and he's all endeavor. So could be something that we could see at the weekend. But Ollie Watkins moving in around the center of that defense, dropping off the shoulder of especially Phillips because he's more dominant in the air, and Quebec is probably someone who likes to play it along the ground more. I think Ollie Watkins can have a good day in there as well. But for me, I think everything that we've said there is all pivotal on what and who we play in that role behind Ollie Watkins in that number 10 position. If we have an effervescent John McGinn like we did the last day, I'll be very, very happy. If we've a Morgan Sanson up there, I'd be happy. You know what? I'd even be happy to have Ross Barkley there because I think Ross Barkley would bring his A game playing against Liverpool, obviously being an Evertonian himself. I think we could see something from him, but that's going to be probably the question area for me. Who's in there? What way do we set up in that midfield three? Do we go with the Real Madrid approach where we condense it down in the middle of midfield? Or do we go with more of the blatant counter-attack approach whereby we, like we did in the 7-2, where we keep Ross Barkley a bit more advanced beside Ollie Watkins and break a pace from the wings. It's going to be enthralling, and there are ways we can win this game for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And to be honest, I wouldn't be shocked if we see both teams score, especially on Saturday. I mean, it's interesting what you said, Neil, about the whole home perspective for Liverpool at Anfield, because they were an absolute fortress for feels like forever. And then I think this season alone, they've lost to Brighton, Fulham, and Burnley at home, just to name a few. And of course, a couple of those teams are teams that we didn't have the greatest results against this year, of course. But nonetheless, we've also had some successes there as well. And it's interesting because you'd probably think if fans were allowed in stadiums, it's a packed out Anfield, it's a lot more difficult. And I think an empty Anfield has really, I mean, this kind of applies for a lot of teams, really, when they're playing at home. It doesn't really feel like a home game, even though you're at home. So I think that's kind of a momentum kind of wave that Villa could ride, in the sense that, you know what, there's no one heckling you. There's no pressure there. You can go there and do your job. And I think that's something some people don't even really think about anymore. We're just so used to there being no fans and thinking, you know what, they're probably used to it. But you know what, I wouldn't be shocked if some of those Liverpool players came out and said, you know what, it's so hard to really get up for, say, a Burnley game when there's no one in here, or whoever else. Like, there's so many things, really, I should say, that kind of go into that mentality aspect. But I guess what the one thing maybe we'll kind of talk about here quickly before we get to score predictions, and we'll get over to Jack with the opposition kind of point of view.
Just before you get out, I think you've got a really good point there, that there are some clubs that may struggle with this a bit more, because look, every fan base thinks that they've got a passionate fan base. Aston Villa is a really passionate fan base. Liverpool is like, it's the lifeblood of that part of the city. You know, they've been through tragedies and tribulations, and it's an identity for people in and around that part of the world. You know, to be a Liverpool fan, you see Newcastle fans are like, say what you like about Steve Bruce and all that's going on at that club, but you know, you can't knock their fans. They pack 50,000 in there every single week. You've like, for some teams, it's not a massive deal. Like Chelsea have a lot of tourists, you know, in London, come and see their games. Same with Arsenal, United. You know, they all have good fan bases, yes, but their stadia are probably built towards the transient fan coming in and out. Whereas, you know, you try and get a ticket, you try and look to go and get a ticket in the home end in Anfield,
Yeah, good
you'll be
luck.
sorely, you know, yeah, good luck. And same in St. James's Park as well. So that is a good point, that you know, it's like, even when Liverpool came back after Project Restart, they kind of spluttered a small bit afterwards. And as I say, Newcastle are languishing around the bottom of the league, but I think maybe they might have picked up one or two more points if they had the fans behind the goals to kind of suck the ball into the net as well. So it is a good point. I don't think it's affected everybody though. I think sometimes for a lot of teams, it's been a monkey off their back. But yeah. You know, for it's definitely a point we're talking about, especially with the likes of Liverpool and trying to, you know, get that extra 10% as you come into the end of games, or even trying to get up to for a Burnley or for a, and that's no disrespect to them, but you know, for a team at that side of the table that you feel you should be beating.
Oh yeah, I know. And I think the one thing that's kind of funny, I think it's kind of almost like a fan cop out thing, since a lot of people, well, no one's there anymore, of course, in the stands. So we can say, well, they weren't up for this game because X player didn't do this or Y player didn't do this. And it's kind of funny you think of that, because I can think of a number of Villa performance at Villa Park, and yeah, I can only hear it on TV, but you can hear the anger sometimes, and you can probably think, you know what, it probably put one or two of those players down. So it works both ways. But Neil, we know what's probably going to happen with Dean Smith's side. Of course, we all probably want to see this happen, but I doubt it will, maybe as a substitution again, and who knows if it'll work. But if the opportunity was there, I guess you could say, would you like to see an up front two of Keenan Davis and Ollie Watkins start this game? Because, I mean, yes, it's Fulham, but I mean, against the center back pairing of Liverpool, the way they're struggling defensively, I mean, it wouldn't hurt, really, would it?
Do I want us to start 4-4-2?
It's
It's
tricky. It's
if,
honestly, it's tricky.
well, put it this way, if you were to ask me this question tomorrow, I'd probably have a different opinion on it. I think the question, so actually, the real question, so actually, the question I just asked myself is wholly different to the question you asked me. You asked me, should Keenan Davis and Ollie Watkins start up front? I interpreted it as 4-4-2, but 4-4-2 could be Ollie Watkins and role starting up front. You know, I think that's why I'm kind of a small bit stuck. Keenan Davis came on and was brilliant last week. You know, can't take anything away from him. Absolutely, really can't. There's an argument to be made to play 4-4-2 at some stage this season to see if number one Ollie Watkins thrives in that, considering we will be getting Wesley back potentially at some stage, but more so the fact that we are going to buy a striker this summer, and can he play up front with somebody else in the Premier League, I think is a legitimate question. I wholeheartedly think he can, but can he do it? Maybe Dean Smith needs to see it. Maybe he needs to actually see it with his own two eyes. The 4-4-2 formation is it's kind of romanticized, I think, an awful lot by people of definitely my vintage in my mid-30s. I think it's very much romanticized because that's all we ever saw. But I don't think is it a tactic that is without flaws? I don't know. But once again, I'm absolutely off the question that you asked me there. Does Keenan Davis
It's all
start up
good.
front of him? I don't think so, because I think that Keenan Davis would. I think maybe the change of pace that potentially Keenan Davis could give us up there are the fact that, you know, you run him into the ground and you bring him in to batter them, to wear them down a small bit more. I think that had more of an effect on Fulham than anything else, because what it allowed us to do was to change formation mid-game, and tired bodies, tired minds allowed Ollie Watkins and Trezeguet to get in at the back post for all the goals essentially that we had. And I think that that was pivotal, the fact that you had somebody that was occupying people, and that they were losing, then other people were losing the likes of Ollie Watkins and Trezeguet, because they had a bit more positional freedom. So for me, just the level of player that Keenan Davis is overall, I think he's better bringing him on to bamboozle the defense from the point of view of allowing people to swarm around him and use him as that pivot point. But to start him, I'm on the fence. I'm on the fence. I'm not saying that it would be a disaster. I'd like to see it in a different caliber of game than to see it against Liverpool.
Yeah, and I mean, it's tricky too. You look at our depth as well. If something like, I don't even want to think of something happening to another striker, to be honest, it's risky with depth wise as well. Who knows if we'll even honestly see Wesley this season at this point, to be honest. I honestly, that's one of the toughest injuries you can ever come back from, and we already know that it's been delayed with kind of further issues as well. So, I mean, hopefully we do, but I mean, it doesn't hurt. And you know what? Against inexperienced Liverpool defenders that haven't really been there for a long time, haven't kind of, I wouldn't say that camaraderie, but kind of had that link up play as of yet, that unity together, it doesn't hurt to stick him on in, say, the 65th minute and just use him as an absolute battering ram to see what happens. But Neil, before, like I said before we throw it over to Jack, could I get your score prediction, please?
I'm going to go 1-1 draw. I think that both teams, I think looking at Liverpool wanting to continue their rich history in the Champions League, it's a guaranteed way back into the Champions League again. Plus, you also get some silverware. I think that they would be happy with a 1-1 draw. And I think we would. I think Dean Smith would snap your hand off for a 1-1 draw. Saying that, a 1-0 win to Aston Villa brings us on level on points and level on games played, provided that Everton don't win their game at the weekend. Brings us level on points played and level on games played, with two games to play against Everton, and that gives us a good springboard to maybe attack that final European place. But you know, my head says 1-0 Villa, and we could have a smash and grab like we did against Arsenal, score early and protect the lead. But my heart says that Liverpool will score, and I think that we'll see a much changed Liverpool team, and I think it'll be a 1-1 draw.
Brilliant. I mean, I give my score prediction in my chat with Jack, so I'll leave that till the end of the podcast. So if anyone cares about that, you can hear that in the second half of this. But Neil, thank you so much for joining me. It's always good chatting with you. And if you'd feel free, go ahead and plug whatever you'd like right now.
Yeah, look, thanks a million for asking me to come on. Look, we have our own podcast, For the Love of Paul McGrath podcast, and we started doing a small bit on YouTube. We decided we got both of us, and Paddy got tons of plastic surgery, and we feel an awful lot more confident now of being in front of the camera. So check it out. You'll find down For the Love of Paul McGrath podcast on YouTube as well. And yeah, as I say, once you're done listening to the guys, you know, here in the whole cast, come on over to us, and you can hear our Irish voices as well on For the Love of Paul McGrath.
Absolutely. It's my not to be biased, it's my second favorite podcast. I have to always say my first is mine. It would be a little bit biased if I didn't. But anyways, like I said before, Neil, thank you very much for coming on, and I guess you guys will hear from me in a second in my conversation with Jack Gill. Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Opposition preview series. Of course, before you would have heard me and Neil Dunworth kind of preview the game ahead of kickoff at Anfield on Saturday. But of course, to get onto the opposition portion, we do need a Liverpool fan, and that being Jack Gill. Jack, how you doing?
I'd be better, mate, if it weren't for that horrendous result and performance on Tuesday night. And also, we don't really have a good history recently against Aston Villa, do we? So, yeah, not feeling too good at the minute, but all could change in the space of a week.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, you guys battered our children. So if you feel a little bit better there, I guess maybe that's some kind of perspective to feel a little bit more positive. But as always, let's start with the Liverpool perspective, of course. It's easy to say there's kind of no understatement when you say your season really hasn't gone to plan, but with the amount of especially defensive injuries you guys have had, it's been absolutely ridiculous. But from your perspective, what are your thoughts on it? And if there really are any issues, where do they lie with you?
I absolutely hate excuses, but you know, this season there's been a few things that have been the issue for Liverpool. Firstly, no one can underestimate how important Virgil van Dijk is for us, and to be without him for the majority of the season has hit us hard, especially defensively. I think, you know, there's been injuries elsewhere too. We've missed Jordan Henderson massively in our midfield. You know, there's a thing in football that seems to underrate Jordan Henderson, and Liverpool fans ourselves did that up until a couple of years ago. But he is pivotal, and his record when he plays in midfield for Liverpool in the last couple of years speaks for itself, Cole. And you know, we've really struggled without him in the midfield too. And you know, we saw the impact of moving Fabinho back into midfield after playing a number of games at the back, and Jordan Henderson coming back in into midfield would be huge for us. And you know, I honestly think we would have breezed past Real Madrid in this Champions League tie had we had Jordan Henderson in midfield. I also believe that, you know, players are very tired. They've had to perform at a very, very high level, you know, a top level for the last couple of years. We haven't had much investment in the squad. We don't have the squad options that the likes of, you know, Chelsea, United, Manchester City have. So, you know, it's been a mixture of things, an amalgamation of things, Cole. But at the end of the day, it's no excuse, really. We should be doing a lot better than we are. And, you know, the situation we're in right now, where we're battling for top four with 8 games to go, and it looks unlikely, though possible still, it's not where Liverpool should be.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to kind of even touch upon what you said there, losing key figures within your squad, if you think about it, you have Van Dijk just absolutely coordinating, leading that defense. And then you look at your midfield, you lose that midfield general. So within obviously 2 key areas of the pitch, you lose some very important people. And you know what? I think as a Villa fan in a lesser extent, we can kind of appreciate that as well, being without Jack Grealish for almost the last, what feels like 2 or so months almost now. It feels like a lifetime, and it can even feel like, you know what, a scrappy win here and there may not even feel good enough in those kind of circumstances as well. But of course, at time of recording, Liverpool are 7th on 49 points. I mean, still 2 points out. And I mean, I think Villa are 9th on 44. So with a game on hand. So if somehow we did the league double over you this season, we're kind of right back in the thick of things in terms of Europa League hopefuls. I'm not writing that on at all. I still don't think that's going to happen. And I still think it's too early. But nonetheless, to get back to Liverpool, I guess, where do you think you guys will finish this season? I mean, it's kind of going right to the wire. We already know that West Ham are basically the surprise package of the season. Chelsea look pretty well, almost undefeatable. You should say that maybe. I should have said that maybe before the West Brom game, of course. And then you have Spurs in there as well, who are just kind of up and down and all over the place. But from your perspective as a Liverpool fan, where do you guys think you'll finish?
Well, last weekend was huge for us. You know, during the international break, people were ruling us out and saying that we had to put all our eggs in the Champions League basket. But, you know, I said something constantly and that, you know, we shouldn't rule out top four, and we should be, you know, attempting to play across both fronts and desperately try and get Champions League football next season, however possible. And then, of course, the last weekend was, as I say, a huge weekend for us. You know, results went our way. We beat Arsenal very comfortably and things were looking good. I, though, still think that top four is unlikely. I just have a feeling we're just going to miss out and finish fifth. But with that being said, it is very, you know, it's very possible us finishing in the top four. Chelsea still have Manchester City to play, I believe. Quite a few of the sides in and around us have to play each other, whereas we only have to play Manchester United. But for me, Cole, this weekend is absolutely huge for Liverpool because, you know, for us to bounce back after that horror show in Madrid, as I say, and to get 3 points against a side that we struggled against earlier on in the season. I thought Dean Smith got his tactics spot on, even though we were abysmal defensively that day. It was a tactically fantastic display as far as Villa are concerned. And, you know, for me, I honestly think to get 3 points on the board at the weekend could be one of the biggest moments of the season for Liverpool Football Club because, you know, our current form at Anfield is poor. We come into it off the back of a defeat in Madrid and, you know, we're on a bit of a low at the moment. We were shocking in midweek. So, yeah, I think it's a massive weekend for us. I really do.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I mean, even from our standpoint, we still have no clue if Jack Grealish is going to play. I feel like I've kind of given up on kind of just guessing what's going to go on from a week to week basis because it's a touch and go thing. But you were going to say something, sorry?
Yeah, I do want to talk about Jack Grealish because he's a player that, you know, I admire massively. And, you know, I think it's a huge boost for us if he's not back at the weekend. I do think he will be back. I think it's probably Villa keeping their cards close to their chest and, you know, keeping it a secret for now. But it would be a big boost for you lot to have him back too. As you say, we talk about Liverpool, but it's an important time in the season for Villa too. And though Europa League is probably unlikely, for you lot, it's still very much possible. And with a player like Jack Grealish, who for me is one of, you know, the best players in the league, I really, really rate Jack Grealish. And it's going to be a task for you lot to keep him in the summer. But, you know, it would be a huge boost for you lot to have him the weekend in what is a big game for both sides.
Oh, massively. I mean, he did post a video. Of course, we're recording this on a Thursday. People hear it on a Friday. So I think he posted it on a Wednesday, him on a bike with look like some kind of trainer or someone with the physio team or something. And we haven't really seen those being publicized often. So hopefully that's sign of good things to come nonetheless. But I guess, Jack, getting right into this game, I mean, we know what it means for the Liverpool perspective and people will know from the Villa perspective that listen to this podcast week on week. But I mean, I guess to go into kind of my kind of zone for a moment, it's going to be an interesting one because we've turned the kind of chapter in terms of shifting a lot of goals. We haven't really been absolutely smashed this season, except for maybe the freak result against Leeds where it could have been anyone's game. And then one goal just basically told all really there. And then things fell apart for a few minutes. But aside from that, it hasn't been anything absolutely too crazy. I mean, you will have your results against Manchester City and the likes of those teams where, okay, maybe you lose 2 or 3 nil or whatever it is, but you don't really go into those with much faith. But when you look at this Villa side in particular, and like you said before, going into Anfield, is there one kind of aspect when you look at our side and say, you know what, we can get at them through this kind of opportunity or this opportunity?
Villa are a side that, you know, I've actually admired this season. I thought your recruitment in the summer after a dreadful summer of recruitment when you first came back into the Premier League, I thought your recruitment this summer was outstanding. Matty Cash has settled in superbly. He's a player that I really, really like. A really underrated player for Aston Villa, I think, too. You've obviously got Jack Grealish, who I think has grown into his role, really grown into being back in the Premier League. And as I say, he's a world-class player, in my opinion. Ollie Watkins, what a signing he was. It was a gamble, but one that's paid off for Villa. And, you know, the loan signing of Barkley, I personally really like Traore as well for Aston Villa. So there were some very good signings. There's Ezri Konsa too, who I think just gets better and better every time I watch him play for Aston Villa. So, you know, they're a side that I think this has been a very good season for Aston Villa, because you've put yourselves on the map. You've improved so much from last season already. You bought in some good players off the, not a good player, sorry, good staff off the field last summer. And, you know, your recruitment is only going to get better. You've got a owner who likes to back the manager. Dean Smith is a very good coach as well. So I think things for you and from your perspective, Cole, I think things will probably look good for Villa fans. And, you know, you keep being linked with some top players as well. So, yeah, I think from a Villa standpoint, this season has been a decent one, and I expect Villa to improve again in the summer.
Well, fair enough. It makes me feel all that much better about our chances on Saturday, of course. But I guess to look from your perspective, if there's one area of concern in the Liverpool side right now, where does that lie with you?
It's hard to pick one at the minute, Cole.
I set you up there a little bit.
Obviously, defensively, for a while, it's been a bit of a worry. And as I said at the start of this podcast, you know, we took two steps forwards and then five back just in that Real Madrid game. You know, our recent defensive form was quite good going into that game, and then we looked absolutely shocking defensively against Real Madrid. And, you know, that back four is a bit of a worry for me. Also the form of Sadio Mane, he obviously was pivotal in our game against Villa at Villa Park last season. But at the minute, his form is woeful, and he's not looked the same since missing the Villa game at Villa Park this season through COVID. You know, he's struggled this season. He really has. And he was dreadful in Madrid in midweek too. So I wonder if he'll get a rest against Villa at the weekend. We've not been you know, our free scoring selves this season either. So that's another worry. But yeah, as I say, mate, I think I speak for a lot of Liverpool fans in saying that I am kind of worried going into this Villa game with our current form at Anfield, with how we performed in midweek on Tuesday night. But, you know, this one game could change how we feel, because it's a big weekend. Some teams around us have some big games too. Obviously, you said before that Villa yourselves aren't too far off us. So, yeah, 3 points huge for us this weekend.
Absolutely. Well, Jack, before we wrap things up here, I always ask this, and feel free to be as bold in this prediction as you want, but could I get a score prediction, please?
Score prediction, I'm going to say 3-2 to Liverpool. I think there's goals in this game, as there seemed to be earlier on in the season at Villa Park. But yeah, I think we'll just pip you 3-2.
That's fair. I mean, aside from Fulham, we've really struggled to score for the last little bit. So you know what? Even if it was a loss with some decent goals in it, you know what? Some fans might take that, even though I'm sure a majority would probably lose their mind still, no matter what happens. But that is football. Of course, there's not much reasoning when it comes to watching your team week on week. But anyways, I'm going to go for, I'll go 2-1 Villa. Why not? I'll go for a win. I'll take that gladly. Do I think it's going to happen? Hard to say. Thinking more with my heart than my head, but nonetheless, that is what it is to be a Villa fan. But anyways, Jack, actually, before we wrap things up, if you want to plug any of your socials, feel free to go ahead.
Yeah, so on Twitter, obviously, I'm at JackLFCGill. I do lots of different things for different Liverpool pages, but one that Villa fans may be interested in is I run an Academy Twitter account and YouTube account called Just the Academy. It was formerly Red Men Academy, but we've broadened our horizons and we talk all about Academy football. So if people are interested in that, we've done a lot before about the likes of, you know, Louis Barry and stuff like that. I know Villa have some very, very good players coming through. Jacob Ramsey is a player who I really admire, and I've heard about his little brother too, who is apparently better than him. So yeah, check that out if you can, and yeah, hopefully you like it.
Brilliant. Yeah, well, I mean, I know there's at least a few people that listen to this podcast and previous conversations that like the kind of academy set up, kind of following youth team, future stars and all that kind of stuff with prospects. So I'm sure they'll definitely give that a look. But Jack, thank you so much for joining me. Of course, if you want to find me on Twitter, it's at @TalkAstonVilla. You can tweet the team at 7500 to Holt. If you want to email the podcast for any reason, it's HoltCast@gmail.com. Of course, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods, feel free to follow, subscribe, leave a review. It just makes it easier for other people to follow us. But anyways, we'll wrap it up there. Hopefully a positive result on Saturday, because we know how tough Man City will be midweek the following week. But anyways, we'll leave it there. And don't forget, up the Villa.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.